Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons, on the day the Red Sox season felt like it truly started to slip away.
Yep.
They lose 5-3, lose the series to the A's, split the season series to the A's. That's not good. And, you know, you guys were talking earlier about, well, what do the schedules look like? Teams you're supposed to beat, not supposed to beat, easier, harder, like, I don't know. I don't feel like I can pencil a win for the Red Sox in against anybody right now because the lineup is not going to score a lot of runs. I laughed out loud. Dave O'Brien, early in the first inning, I think so it was 3-1 A's after one, and Dave O'Brien goes, you know, this could be one of those crazy 9-8 or 9-7 Fenway days. And I was like, you think the Red Sox can score 9 runs in how many games? Like, where are you getting that confidence, Dave?
9 combined runs, maybe, but not 9 or 8 runs from the Sox. My God, that's like that's a week's worth of runs for this team right now, sadly.
Yeah, so I know. Go ahead, Ted.
It feels like, look, everybody on the lineup has gone through their slumps throughout the year at different times, but now it feels like they're all slumping at the same time. What it feels like. It was kind of like, you know, there were guys that were in this lineup that have slumped earlier in the year, but other guys were hitting, so you didn't notice it as much. Well, you notice the lineup, how bad everybody's slumping right now, because it's the entire lineup, top to bottom, that other than maybe Trevor Story, that's not hitting.
And I will also just, you know, excuses or reasons given by losers. Abreu and Anthony are hurt. And I didn't love the Abreu not traveling with them. We'll probably have to get into that a bit more tomorrow with a longer show, full show. But Abreu not traveling with them to Tampa Bay is going to work out. And then if it goes okay, he might join them. I believe I wrote it down, actually, because I noted it. Middlebrooks on the broadcast said, that worries me. Worries me as well. Because, yes, Ted?
Wasn't he originally planning on going down there?
Or seemed like it.
Was that the original report? Mm-hmm. I heard that he was originally planned on going there.
I know we're going down the same Christian Gonzalez road of like, is there a setback? Was there a setback? Why is he not back yet? But that feels, and they could use him, and that's not fair, because with, you know, 9 games to play or whatever, to expect him to just come in and hit you a few bombs right away, have his timing down, carry the lineup, that's not fair, but I didn't like that. Turning the page to football, as I think we may have to do sooner rather than later, and sooner than I really expected. This game on Sunday at Gillette Stadium, and Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King this season. Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. So this game, I think it's a winnable game. Like, we've talked about this. There are winnable games, teams that, you know, if you think you're a 500 team or a borderline playoff team or whatever you think you're going to be, the Raiders, the Dolphins, the Steelers, they're all kind of in that conversation with you. But Tom Curran ended his chat with us just a few moments ago saying he's going to pick the Steelers. He's leaning towards Pittsburgh, needs a little bit more information, a little more data on this team. Ted, before, you know, tomorrow we'll obviously preview the game a little bit deeper, but how are you feeling about this matchup? How are you feeling about whatever you think the Patriots fixed in Miami and whatever you think are still issues that need to be fixed if they're going to win a game against Aaron Rodgers?
You know what it is? I'm not a believer in Aaron Rodgers. I saw what he did week one, but he had a good game and he was all fired up and he had things to say after that game because it was against the Jets and it was his former employer that you know, paid him a crap ton of money, and he still you know, it wants to just stick it to him in the biggest way. So he'll get up for that game, and then you saw kind of what happened last week. But it's really the story of this team, Andy and Fitzy, is the defense. You know, you can rattle off all those names, Cameron Hayward and T.J. Watt and Patrick Queen. You know, they have big name guys on that side. It's Darius Slay, but the point or the facts are that they're not a very good defense. They rank last in yards, and their pass defense is terrible. So it's kind of shocking. It feels like that defense got old really quick. So I just think if you can't beat this team at home, when I'm not a believer, sorry, in Aaron Rodgers. And just what they did, the way they built this team, it's just so atypical of how the Steelers run their thing. I mean, they just have a lot of overpaid, kind of bloated contracts on defense with a guy that's way past his prime in Aaron Rodgers, who can every now and then give you a game if he's really motivated. But I just think there's too much on the Patriots side to lose this game. I don't feel like super confident, but I feel fairly confident that they are the better team. I do.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Ted on this one, Andy. I think the Patriots have a really good chance to win the game on Sunday. And it's mostly because of my faith in the offense and the way that they evolved and showed maturation against the Dolphins. The defense still has issues galore and plenty they can work on. And I hope that it's been double down this week on the practice fields behind Gillette. Whereas if they continue to take the baby steps to medium-sized steps forward like they did last week, this Pittsburgh defense is giving up 400 yards a game. You know, Ted pointed out all the different names that are on there. Yeah, it's a pro shop of defensive jerseys that you may have there, from Queen to Hayward, Darius Slay, Joey Porter Jr. at cornerback. Don't forget Jalen Ramsey as well. There's a lot of people you recognize, but they're not playing well. T.J. Watt. And if the Patriots can find ways to pick them apart, notoriously, the Patriots have had a lot of success against every iteration of the Dick LeBeau defense. I know he's no longer the coordinator that Pittsburgh has employed, and Tomlin seems to be running some variation of it therein still. Hopefully Josh McDaniels can teach Drake May a little bit of what he taught Tom Brady, or he and Brady worked on all those years, and continue to have success. If they can put up more than 24 points on Sunday, I feel really good about their chances.
How about real quick. How about this? The Patriots lead the NFL in sacks. And the Steelers, with all those pass rushers, are tied for last in sacks with three sacks. So,
and Rodgers has been sacked. I think he's been sacked 7 or 8 times in 2 games. So
he's been sacked 7 times. Yep, yeah. 7 times.
So Patriots should be able to. I boil it down to 2 things. First, I think you should be able to run the football offensively. I think you should get Ramondre going like you did last week and like Curran talked about. And if you do that and kind of play ahead of the chains and play offense on your terms, I think that's a really good positive. And then my biggest question is a question that I think Tom Curran talked about. It's not about the front. It's not even about Christian Gonzalez and when he will play. It's about the middle of that defense. Let's hear what Curran had to say about that.
But I've looked at the linebacker level and said this is a total afterthought on this team. For a linebacker in Mike Vrabel, defensive end, who grew up as he did in the league, it's Christian Ellis, Jelani Tavai, Jack Gibbons, Robert Spillane. I'm not looking at a bunch of household names there. And it's not the way it was even a couple of years ago when, you know, they were a linebacker-heavy team. So the front's good. The back end should be good. The linebackers, I think, are just they're one slice of meat in a wonderfully breaded sandwich.
And I think that's going to continue to decide football games for this team. And maybe Robert Spillane, I mean, the way Curran talked about it, like there's sort of a lack of names and talent there. Robert Spillane is supposed to be that guy. He was brought in and given some money to be that guy, and he's been disappointing. But, you know, we talk about the safety position and the linebacker position. To me, if I'm an opposing offense, I'm going at that early. I'm going at that often. If you want to miss tackles, whether it be in the short passing game, whatever, I think that middle of the field is the downfall, potentially, of these Patriots.
Well, look where the money's at. The money's all on the interior defensive line, and, you know, even the outside guys with Harold Landry. And then they put money in, you know, in Carlton Davis in the corner.
Yep.
So safeties and middle linebackers, I mean, yeah, those guys are getting paid, I guess, Christian Ellis and Spillane, but not with big money deals.
No. The only big money one is Duggar, and he's a part-time player at times.
That's right. The Spoelstra thing, look, everybody just said this guy was going to make a million tackles. And in training camp, I asked Tom Kern what he thought about some of the free agents, and I specifically brought up Spoelstra. I haven't heard his name mentioned. And when you go to practice, I never saw him make a play. You know, and where the hell is – oh, no, they're fine. And it was like, dude, I got to see something from guys in training camp to feel confident that they're going to be players when the season starts. And I saw really no game, no flash from the linebackers in training camp, and it's proven to be true in the regular season.
Yeah, I don't really fear the primary carriers for Pittsburgh as far as their rushing attack goes, and we like the Patriots' defensive line. Now, whether they choose to try and expose the Pats' cornerbacks if Gonzo doesn't play by working the outside and seeing if they can mismatch with DK Metcalf, okay, you'll win some of those, you'll lose some of those. But if they get quick over the middle with Jaylen Warren, Calvin Austin, Roman Wilson, Pat Freiermuth, that's where Aaron Rodgers might be able to find those soft spots and keep the Pittsburgh offense on the field long enough to frustrate New England. If they win the time of possession and it's him with the ball in his hands last, then you should be worried. And obviously you should hold your breath if it comes down to Chris Bosworth versus Andy Borogalis. I think we know who the advantage goes to there.
Yeah, I'm not. I hope it doesn't come down to a field goal, but I'm in a weird situation. I didn't think I would feel this way necessarily this early, but if you ask me who I have more faith in going into Sunday's game against the Steelers, is it Drake May in the offense to move the ball and put up some points, or is it the defense to tackle well, to make the plays you need to make to win that football game? I think I'm with my guy Josh McDaniels, my guy Drake May in the offense. I know it's only 1 week, and probably I'm extrapolating too much off a single data point in week two in Miami and all of that, but I feel pretty good about this offense. 617-779-7937. I don't know why I'm giving out the phone number. We're coming down the stretch here to the end of a short show. Red Sox lose 5-3. Red Sox lose 2 out of 3 to the A's. Getting on a plane tonight, heading to Tampa Bay. It's a crochet day Friday. It's not Fenway, but it's a huge Friday night game for the Boston Red Sox with Garrett Crochet on the mound.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
It's been about 3 years since this team put together back-to-back wins. How important is it in the culture, what you're trying to build, to get some momentum with stringy teams?
It's always important to win as many games as you possibly can. There's a lot of stats here, guys, that I'm not familiar with, nor am I concerned with, right? The focus is trying to build some consistency, which would then lead to confidence and continue to build on what we did and prove the things that we have to fix, and then continue to eliminate some of the things that we feel like could get you beat. And so I'm excited about doing that today through meetings and practice and getting them to, get ready for a new opponent. Just like we did last week, we cleared the deck and focused on the next opponent.
Mike Vrabel yesterday discussing something we talked about quite a bit yesterday, Keith. The Patriots have not won back-to-back games since 2022. You highlighted this yesterday after he spoke. It's not his fault they haven't won.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of stats, a lot of facts that I really have nothing to do with, and I don't really care about it. My advice would be to put an end to a lot of those streaks and a lot of those different stats and facts and whatever get thrown in his face. But yeah, I agree. He has nothing to do with it. He wasn't here with Mayo. He wasn't here with Bill. In fact, he was beating Bill on the other side when he was in Tennessee.
Right.
But
he knocked Brady out of New England.
I would encourage him to start putting an end to streaks like that. Win games back to back.
Yeah, but hopefully that's what it ends up being, is like on Sunday they're like, hey, oh, by the way, you just did this for the first time since whatever. Like, he really shouldn't be worried about it. Plus, this team has so many players that weren't a part of that. Like, look at how many different starters they have on both sides of the ball that had nothing to do with the 4-win team last year or the 4-win team the year before that, or played for, three coaches in 3 years. Like, yeah, there's some holdover, like our guy Hunter Henry, but for the most part, you have so many new guys. The coaching staff is almost entirely new. So yeah, not their problem that the team was really bad. Their problem now, or their sort of main focus, is making the team good now. And so far, one game they look pretty good, one game they did not. And so now they go from here.
So you're feeling pretty good about their chances this weekend, right?
Yeah, I think I am. I don't think Pittsburgh is.
I think the line has moved in the direction of Pittsburgh. Last I saw, I think Pats were 2.5 point dogs now.
Ooh.
I thought that's what I saw. Let me fact check myself, but I thought I saw that update yesterday.
Pittsburgh's been pretty bad. You know, I don't think that they're this great team. Neither is the Patriots, right? Like, I'm not trying to say the Patriots win over the Dolphins means that, oh, look out, AFC. You know, they got everything figured out.
I see it's 1.5 again, so maybe it moved quickly, yeah. Or maybe I was wrong.
But, you know, they beat Justin Fields and the Jets in a Aaron Rodgers revenge game where he throws 4 touchdowns. They win by 2 against the Jets team that
The Pittsburgh defense has been horrible.
Terrible. They give up 1 million yards. They've been giving up 1 million points. They have played Justin Fields and Sam Darnold.
Fields and Darnold. I know we're pro Sam Darnold guys this week.
This week we are.
Just for a week, one-off. But yeah, they have not played good quarterbacks and or good teams.
Yep.
And their defense has been shredded by Fields and Darnold.
And so maybe Gonzalez comes back. We don't know. I mean, I'm not going to bet on it that he's back, but he's at least back at practice. So that could beef up your secondary a little bit. I think the offense really figured some stuff out. Like, they looked so much better against the Dolphins than they did against the Raiders. Now, part of that is they're going to have to run the ball, but I think they can run the ball against the Steelers, right? I think Ramondre can have a big game. I think, you know, hopefully Henderson gets involved, but Drake May was only asked to throw the ball 23 times last week, which is half as many times as he did the week before. And even though I'm one of these, like, hey, chuck the ball around, well, for this team with this roster, they're better off having more of a 50-50 split, and I think they'll be able to do that. Like, Vegas was able to take away the run, then they kind of went away from it. And then McDaniels himself kind of took away the run in the second half. I think they'll be more committed to it, and then they'll be able to beat Pittsburgh.
I would look at the backs that have matched up well with Pittsburgh so far. Breece Hall was great week one. Ken Walker was great last week. And I wonder if it's a bit of a Trevion Henderson week, where he is more the speed, explosive back. And I think part of the reason he wasn't as involved, one, Ramondre was great.
Yeah.
Two, he was getting holding penalties left and right every other play. I would hope they don't hold that against him from last week. You say, all right, we're going to...
He was asked about the Henderson holding penalties.
He was right after.
Rabel
was asked, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, right after the Gonzo. He's like, yeah, Gonzo will be out there. Oh, by the way, about Trevion Henderson's holding penalties.
Only had like 3 holds.
Enough about Gonzo.
What's he doing?
What's up with the holds? But no, I hope they punished him for last week, yeah, because he's out there holding and it's a lost day. And he's back on the field. And I'd imagine there are some big plays you can hit in the running game as well against this defense. So I would keep an eye on Trevion Henderson this week specifically, even over Ramondre, after Ramondre's great week. But they should be able to move the ball on this team. They should be able to put points on the board. The question is, with or without Gonzalez, can they slow anybody down? And I don't like Aaron Rodgers at this stage in his career.
No.
I don't think the Steelers outside of Metcalf have really any great weapons, but I didn't think highly of Geno Smith. I didn't think highly of Tua and that offense going into last week. And speaking of getting shredded, same thing has happened to the Patriots defense.
So Tua with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Achane.
They have more weapons.
Yeah, sure, way sure. more. I mean, yeah. It's DK Metcalf, and that's about it. Their leading receiver is actually Jalen Warren. So Jalen Warren has had a good – but even still, Warren and Metcalf average like 50 yards a game. And it's only 2 games, and we know what Metcalf can do. I'm not saying Metcalf's a bad, but I'm saying like that is the one guy you really have to focus on. I don't think their running game is any great shakes. And I think Aaron Rodgers is fine. I think he's one of these quarterbacks that is kind of middle of the pack at this stage of his career. So he's still capable of games like he had in week one, but he's also still capable of just pretty bad kind of nothing games, which this Patriots defense has not made quarterbacks look bad yet, right?
No.
Like Geno Smith looked very good. Tua looked pretty good. So that would be a first if they're able to do it. Another sort of matchup within the matchup, Arthur Smith's the offensive coordinator there in Pittsburgh. So it's one of those, all right, who has the advantage? Arthur Smith knows Vrabel. Vrabel knows Arthur Smith. Like, are they able to sort of get the better of him there?
You can discuss 617-779-7937. How you feeling about the Patriots this weekend against the Steelers? As Vrabel said, I mean, you obviously want to win games and not lose them. You want to put an end to winning or the lack of winning back-to-back games. Patriots can really put themselves in a great spot to have a great start to the year. And I feel good about them winning one of the next two. They could take them both and win 3 out of 4 to start the year and really start with momentum in the Vrabel era, 3 wins in a row, not to get ahead of ourselves.
Yep.
But I think that's doable. And it starts this weekend against the Steelers. So how are you feeling about the matchup? Both Keith and myself are picking them, despite the issues on defense and despite the questions about Christian Gonzalez and his return. Again, you can weigh in on the phone lines. We're going to talk to Rob Bradford, WEEI.com, and baseball isn't boring. Coming up 20 minutes from now, we got the Hogman, Hogdale, at high noon today, live in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the New England Edition F-150, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox.
Real quick, you were mentioning the line. Pittsburgh is favored. The total for the game is 44.5, which...
Over.
Yeah, I think over as well.
Over.
But not only that, but that's still a pretty decent number considering what they had the last couple of years. It felt like every week
is a healthy number. Yeah.
Well, every week it was like over under 36.5 for like Patriots whoever. And even though they didn't have a good defense, they just knew they weren't going to score a lot of points. But Patriots Steelers, yeah, it could be a shootout. I like that bet. I think the over is pretty.
I smell not a bozo touchdown parlay, but I smell some sort of bozo bet.
That feels like safer than them winning, right? That just both teams go over?
I feel better about that. You guys, again, can discuss on the phone, 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, Wednesday's a busy day. There's a lot of interviews. Gonzalez spoke. Vrabel spoke. Drake May spoke, as did Stephon Diggs. And there was one answer from Diggs that stood out to me yesterday. We've talked a lot about him wanting the football, demanding the football, wearing out welcomes. And I wonder anyway.
All right. What are you wondering?
I wonder if we got a little bit of that yesterday. Here is Steph Diggs.
Yeah, super early. I mean, I feel like, you know, I try not to pay too much attention to the chatter. But right now I'm at a point where I'm just doing what I'm told. I'm just doing what's asked me. I want to be a key point in this offense as far as like being part of the sale with things going in the right direction. You know what I'm saying? We got a young team. We out there fighting. We out there, you know, kind of getting on the same page. You see things kind of clicking here and there. So I just want to be a part of it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to do what I'm asked and be consistent. You know, having a young quarterback that can ball. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to be at the right spot for him. You know what I'm saying? Gaining that confidence throughout games. I think it's going to pay dividends for us. It's going to pay off. So just trying to stay consistent.
Okay, I try not to pay attention to the chatter.
Okay.
What's the chatter?
Well, first of all, congratulations are in order for Stephon Diggs.
Oh, he got asked about this as well.
Well, he's expecting a child with Cardi B.
If you want to
say, well, first of all, let's just say congratulations.
Oh, so yes.
What most of the chatter is.
If you enter Steph
Diggs into Bing and you're like, what's the chatter? The chatter's not football.
Chatter is offsetting Cardi B and Steph Diggs and congratulations with a child on the way. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. That is due. So that's some of the chatter with Diggs. Good point.
And then there's like the old clip of him in the Vikings locker room. There's the clip of him on Family Feud. There's a lot of those.
You had told me about that. I'd never seen the Family Feud clip until last night.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Pretty great.
Pretty good. So, well, I did wonder this a little bit. Was they win the game? Drake May celebrated for the game that he had. Ramondre Stevenson had an awesome game. The offensive line looked really good, and they won in Miami, which they never do. So everybody's all excited about that. But the wide receivers didn't do a whole lot. Now, Mac Hollins had a touchdown. Kayshon Boutte had a touchdown. So even if you're only going to have one catch, have a touchdown, and then you feel probably pretty good about it.
Sure.
But like Steph Diggs didn't really do a whole lot, and I just feel like, and I'm not even singling out Diggs, I'm just saying like any top end receiver, any receiver who thinks he is one of the 10, 15, even 20 best in the league is going to want the ball a lot more, going to want to be productive. And maybe when you win, you're like, all right, that's fine. Like, we'll see what happens. But if you lose a few more of those games, right? Like the Raiders game, like if you lose and your production is four catches for 32 yards, I don't know. Maybe you're not loving that as much. So I think it's always something to keep an eye on. I would have said that before week one. Like, let's see how successful the team is combined with how successful he is, because he's someone we know knows his stats. He told us his first press conference with the Patriots what his numbers were, what they were going to be had he played the second half of the season with Houston. So it's important to him, and I think that's fine. But in this answer here, he's like, hey, I'm just trying to fit in right now. He's trying to fit in.
I'm just doing what I'm told. I try not to pay attention to the chatter, which, again, you're right. Off the field, a lot of chatter about him and Cardi B and Offset and everything
most of
else.
It.
But when he's talking about, I took that as on the field.
Yeah. Chatter, no, like, I'm sure what he's
Diggs is washed. He's not playing as much. Like, I imagine that's the chatter he's talking about. And he says, well, I try not to pay attention to it. I'm just doing what I'm told. Now, you could interpret that as, I'm on board,
right?
I'm buying in, I'm doing what they're asking me, which he said later on in the answer.
That's what I think.
Typically when someone has, hey, I'm just doing what I'm told, man, I don't typically think that's a guy who sounds overly happy with their situation, but...
Well, that's what AJ Brown's saying in a very different tone, though.
Thank you, Nick. I was going to say the tone. Right. The exact same words can be said with a different tone. Or depending on what the question even was or whatever, like, hey, I'm being asked to what I'm told. I think it's also different when it's a guy who is about to play his third game with the team rather than a guy who's been there for 3 years or whatever and has already had ups and downs.
Won a Super Bowl.
Like, if this was – if Steph Diggs was in Houston again and said that, I think it comes across differently, or I would hear it differently.
I think this is something to watch with Diggs all year. If he's producing, then I agree. I don't care that he wants more numbers and he wants to put up production. The worst case scenario is he's kind of pedestrian and he starts squawking about his role. And he's not the only one.
Real quick, 2 weeks into the season.
Yep.
Who do you think leads the Patriots in targets?
Oh, it's got to be him, right?
It's Steph Diggs.
Yeah.
Who do you think leads the team in catches?
Oh, I might say Henderson for that. Is it Diggs?
Steph Diggs.
Who's two?
In catches?
Yeah.
It is Henderson with 8, and then Stevenson and Booty are tied with 7. Okay. Diggs has 10.
Okay.
But his average yards per catch is not high. He's third on the team in yards and then still does not have a touchdown, but 2 games in.
And he's still playing the third most snaps as a receiver.
Yeah.
So, look, when he's out there, he's getting his targets. I'm telling you, that's something to watch with Diggs all year. And maybe I'm reading too much into it, knowing his history, reading too much into that comment. That's possible. That's something to watch with Diggs all year. I thought DeMario Douglas answered questions a little better yesterday. Douglas was asked, too.
Pop on the tape.
Yeah, he's been known to squawk in the past, too. He said, I feel like that was probably just the game plan for Miami, is what he told to Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston. Mm-hmm. We felt they couldn't stop the run, so we did a lot of things to run the ball. I think we did a great job with that. I know I didn't play a lot, but we got the dub. I feel like it was a game plan that worked because we came out with the win. So he's making it sound like that's a one-off.
Yeah, you do play them again.
I don't want to bitch about this.
Yeah, smart, smart.
But there are a few elements in there of like, well, it worked this week. And, well, it was just for one game, and I'm not going to complain because we won, but I don't get the sense he's going to be happy with that role, and how could he? How could he be happy with that role?
Yeah, well, but he at least said all the right things right there because you did win. Like, that's what is going to smooth everything over. Like, if you have another game where, you know, Drake May is targeting the running backs and the tight ends more than the wide receivers, but they win, well, then all your complaints kind of get ignored, or we look at him like, what are you talking about? You won. Like, whatever you guys did offensively was enough to win.
Well, and speaking of A.J. Brown, I think that's some of what he said after their 2 games. He's like, well, we're 2-0, and that's all that matters. But you know he's not happy.
No, he's definitely pissed. Yeah. He's definitely pissed. But then, so as soon as you lose, and then they're like, well, what do you think happened? They'd be like, well, what do you think happened? Give me the ball. Give me the ball, and we'll win.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a cry as old as time.
Why don't you go ask the coaches? Because I'm just doing what I'm told.
Yep, that's right. Well,
so get ready for that is all I'm saying. And I think you're getting little teeny tiny seeds of it. But they won.
More likely to score.
Everybody's biting their lip.
But both. Well, I would say AJ Brown for sure frustrated. Steph Diggs, that's more debatable. But which one is more likely to score a touchdown this week? Brown, Diggs, or both? Because I was thinking about both.
More likely, I could say both. I would go.
No, I'm saying like if you really like both of them, you can say both. But you think I think AJ Brown gets in. I think there's like enough kind of squawking with him that
I think they
force feed him the ball.
They play the Rams though. That's not an easy matchup.
No, true. But I mean, AJ Brown's so good. I feel like they might just try to settle things down a little bit, right? And force it to him.
What's the likelihood he gets kept out of the end zone 3 games in a row? Just period. Just in a vacuum.
Right. Right, so I kind of like
the likelihood that happens with Diggs, probably pretty high this year.
Yeah, Diggs
coming
maybe
off
not.
The injury.
Yeah, Diggs maybe not.
So you guys can weigh in 617-779-7937. Tim is in Hanover. Hello, Tim.
Gentlemen, hey, I just wanted to comment on May and Rodgers real quick.
All right.
Rodgers' pocket presence is horrible. I watched the first game. He had wide open receivers that the defense failed him in that game against the Jets. Here's May. I want to see his pocket presence get better because you know what? This kid can be a great quarterback. When Brady played, his pocket presence were the best I've ever seen in my life. He was always aware of what went on, and he made unbelievable passes. That's what the skill is.
Brady was pretty good.
Brady. Yeah, I mean, get after Rodgers, sure.
No, but I think Drake May, we've seen both ends of the spectrum through 2 games. First game, poor pocket presence, not confident. Fire and throws high, happy feet, awkward slides, turnovers, or a turnover, nearly a second one, the fumble that Will Campbell fell on top of. So I think week one, poor pocket presence. Week two, and I think they go hand in hand with his success, obviously. Week two, eyes up the field, steps up out of pressure, eyes up the field, finds Ramondre Stevenson for 55 yards. Like that is pocket presence. Like that play right there crystallizes it. So he has it in him. Can he do it consistently? I think that's the trick for a lot of these young quarterbacks, and that's what separates a guy who can flash with a play here and there versus a guy who is a consistently great quarterback, never mind an all-time great, like Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. You see any of Drake May's stuff on Aaron Rodgers? He
loves him, right? That's his guy?
Well, he's a big fan, and if you remember when they played the Jets last year, he was like kind of hanging out, like waiting to...
Yeah.
Was it get a jersey swap? Was that what it was? Or was it just to like shake his hand or something
like
after
the
game?
A hug and a smooch?
Which was a story at the time, and a smooch.
Maybe.
From Aaron Rodgers. He said yesterday when he looked up how to hold... When he first started playing football, when he looked up how to hold the football to throw it, he looked up Rodgers' grip. And that's how he grips the football.
Well, I was always blown away as a kid. There was some... I don't know if it was a show. Maybe it was a pregame. They showed you how all these different quarterbacks held the ball, and they all held it way differently. Huh. Wasn't it Dan Marino like didn't even use the laces? And I'm like, wait, what? Like they all hold it differently.
Huh.
It was very strange. You would think it'd be kind of like universal, like, oh, grab it, here's how you hold it. Some of them have like barely a finger on the laces. Some have none. Some have two. It's interesting. Like the game within the game.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
But I just, it's a little bit of like passing the torch. Like, oh, if you like Drake May and you like how he slings it, there's some elements of Aaron Rodgers' game going back to when he was in eighth grade, looking up just how to simply hold the football.
I mean, he is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. You could say he's a loser and he hasn't won enough and
he's annoying
guy
and whatever,
but he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
It is sleep. He's a top 10 quarterback of all time and
definitely
probably knocking on the door top five. 617-779-7937. You guys can jump in here on Jones and Keefe live in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio, taking you up to day baseball today. We got Hogdale at high noon on Jones and Keefe. And coming up next, Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring, and WEEI talking Red Sox right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Binary system. That's Aaron Rodgers, the biggest douche in sports, getting ready to come to Gillette Stadium this weekend. Looking forward to that. 1 o'clock. I love the 1 o'clock Sunday games.
Same.
So great.
More 1 o'clock games. And after their loss last week, some people were saying, Aaron Rodgers called out his receiver for running the wrong route, but he did it in such a professional way. I'm sorry. Like, I understand the second interception he had was not on him, but he just can't. And maybe this is just me being a hater. He can't not come off like a douche.
No.
That's the issue I have. Like, even if he's being professional in the way in which he's calling out one of his teammates, you're still calling out one of your teammates. Wow. I don't like it. It gives me the ick.
Yeah, it's because you don't like him. He's already, in your mind, it's like when you see him, you already see douche.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what he said.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
But I was just going to say, before we continue on, I do just want to give a Odyssey app appreciation out. Leo Chininis, big listener of the show, listens every morning. It's my best friend's son. He's turning two. But he listens every morning. He was very upset we just went to commercial break.
Oh.
So we are back now. He is listening along with his brother, Ollie. Uh-huh. So they're listening this morning. Good morning, boys.
Right,
I hope that
up?
You have a good day.
Leo and Ollie.
Yes.
Oh, right. Man.
Is his name just Ollie, or is that Ollie short for something?
Nope, Ollie.
All right.
Yep.
I love it. Leo's parents, very, very sweet people.
Yes,
they
yes.
were at the Capitol Grill a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. They come to a lot of events. Yeah.
The opposite of Leo Chinchinas is Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron is a complete and utter DB. The only thing that really rubbed me the wrong way was the whole thing with the Jets, like the revenge game. Doesn't that, you got paid $100 million to suck.
Yep.
And then you get back there and you're like, I'm happy we beat them. There's a lot of people I hate in this building. It's like, what do you think they feel about you?
Right.
They paid you $100 million. You blew out your ACL.
Not like a good revenge game, though.
His Achilles. But then also then he was so upset with the fact that they had him fly to New York to then fire him. It's like, so you think that that was a conversation that should just be held over the phone? I don't know. I think that he is somebody who just, no matter what is going on in life, has something to complain about. That's I think that's how I feel about him.
Let me tell you, those people, the worst. Brandon in Boston. How you doing?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my phone call. So my pick for Sunday is the Steelers. You know, you're going against Aaron Rodgers and Mike T. So, you know, they've seen every defense in the sun, under the sun. So, you know, for me, I expect them to throw different blitz packages at Drake May because, you know, we know that he's a turnover machine, but I think they're going to test him, rattle his cage and see if he can make throws on a run. Or is he going to extend plays or make the decision to throw it out of bounds? But if you're facing a team that has six penalties out of two games, you have 21 coming into this game out of two games. It's just ridiculous. So what does that tell me? That, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers are more disciplined than you. And then Aaron Rodgers is immaculate with his hard count. So expect that defense to always jump at him. So, you know, I expect them to, you know, beat them. Probably it's a good 27-13 type of game. And by the way, their wide receivers and running backs are averaging more yardage than them, than the wide receivers and running backs on the Patriots as well. So, you know, it's going to be a hard test.
Brandon, are you a big Steelers fan?
Not a Steelers fan. I'm a Rams fan.
Oh, okay. Thanks. All right.
But
Rams fan.
Yeah, I look at
the Steelers have had a lot of trouble running the football.
But I look at this game though. This would be a big signature win for Drake May.
Yeah,
because the Steelers are a good football team. Like you know how
they were a playoff team last year.
Regardless of how you feel of Mike Tomlin, you know whether or not he deserves credit. Is he overrated? Is he underrated? He's a good football coach. That's a good football team. They got a good defense. They got one of the best, you know, five players on defense in the NFL. I don't know, you know, some people would add TJ Watt is the best defensive player in the NFL, but he's up there, right? We can all agree on that. So you're getting a good football team, a well-coached football team. You got them at home. This is a great opportunity for you. When's the last signature win that the Patriots have? You talked about the back-to-back wins. When's the last win where you go, that was a good win by the Patriots against a really good football
team? Well, you thought it was last year against the Bengals, and then that went downhill very fast.
Somebody overreacted to that.
A couple people did.
I mean, people thought it was all about the coach.
Yep.
We burned the tapes.
Yep. You bring up the coaching for the Steelers, and Ben Volen just had a tweet kind of posting exactly what Mike Tomlin said about the Patriots, and it was very Bill Belichick-esque. Like, he could go through every guy that's starting for the Patriots right now and dissect exactly their strengths and their weaknesses, and I think that is where the Steelers have the upper hand here. Mike Vrabel's a great coach, but Mike Tomlin does not get the credit he deserves year after year for the product he puts out on the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think, though, with Aaron Rodgers, if the Steelers don't make the playoffs, if they have a subpar year, there's a lot. Because Ken, he's plugged into Western Pennsylvania, and the fan base there is not big on Mike Tomlin.
No.
Which is just so weird to me.
Yeah, because I think with Mike Tomlin, he has the regular season success. He gets the team to the postseason. But other than that one year where people are like, well, a lot of those guys were Bill Cowher holdovers, they haven't been able to do much when they get to the postseason. And that's where he gets judged by Pittsburgh Steelers fans.
Is their last playoff win the game before the AFC Championship they lost here in the 2016 season?
Yeah, it's like 9 years ago.
I believe so, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that is a long time. We're going to get to what are we doing here in a second. But in case you missed it, we're live on Twitch. And that is brought to you by Springer's Jewelers. Diamonds, watches, necklaces, earrings. If you're in the market for something special, especially diamonds, please reach out to our friends at Springer's Jewelers in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire. The best selection at the best prices, springersjewelers.com. All right. Do we have the audio there, Scheimer? All right. So Adam Schefter went on Get Up.
All right.
In the aftermath of the 40 million people watched Game of the Year Super Bowl rematch Eagles-Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. And he told the abhorrent Marcus Spears and others that the reason the Eagles won the game was not because of anything that night. It was because of what happened in March of last year when the league failed to ban the tush push. So 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia had Adam Schefter on and were obviously pissed because as Philly fans, they felt that they were being, I don't know, mischaracterized or the win was being slighted by the national media. And here's how that went.
You know when that game was lost? The game was lost when Travis Kelce dropped a pass that became an interception that gave the Eagles the ball. The game was lost when Andy Reid made the decision to go for it on 4th and 1 from his own 36 that gave the Eagles a field goal, a gimme field goal in the third quarter. The game was lost when Harrison Butker missed a field goal that would have been a 3-point. So that's when the game was lost.
Okay, so John, so why the sensitivity then?
Because you said you just said it was a fact that the Eagles lost. You said the game was won on GetUp. You said the game was won because of the tush push. That was not fact. And you just said it was fact again. It wasn't won because of the tush push.
It was one of the factors involved in that game.
You didn't say that.
Stop that play. Oh, okay. Well, you know what, John? I'm not going to go into GetUp when I got 20 seconds. Well, they did this and they did that and they did
this. Weren't they bigger? Okay, were they bigger factors or were they less factors? Because I think Travis Kelce and that interception was a bigger factor in the Chiefs losing than the tush push. Andy Reid twice going out of character was a bigger decision. Butker missing a field goal was a bigger than the tush push, which accounted for 5 yards in the game.
John, fine. What does that have to do with my opinion on the tush push? Again, people are mistaken. So I'm not giving the Eagles flowers for making other plays? Okay, great. They did make those plays. Again, bravo. Excellent. They won the game. Great job. Okay?
Okay,
so people feel cheated that I didn't salute them for stopping them on 4th and 1 or coming up with a big pick. I'm just talking about the tush push and the ire it's raised across the league and across the country. People all worked up. I've never been one that's been worked up about it or against the play.
So, two things. One, if you go on TV and you say something, your excuse can't be, what do you expect? I was on TV. You can say, I in hindsight, I didn't mean what I said, but this is something, we used to have this issue with Schefter on the old show all the time. We would label a segment that he joined with a quote he gave us. And then he would call our bosses and be like, what is going on? I'm getting ripped left and right. It's like, if you say it, stand behind it.
Right.
And the only thing I hate about the tush push is how much oxygen it takes from the NFL every week. Like, it's a play that's legal. Why can't everybody learn to effing do it? Why is it just the Eagles that are able to do it? It's not like there is some unique, you know, you need to be as fast as Kyler Murray or as big as Big Ben or like it's just.
I think you just need to have a strong quarterback, and Jalen Hurts is very strong when it comes to getting that leg drive to push. But it also helps that you have those guys. I told you the Patriots did it, and it wasn't like so much like the Eagles, but Hunter Henry comes in motion and pushes Drake May.
But to call it an advantage, it's an advantage for you having that strong quarterback no matter what.
Right.
Like, to say that it should be eliminated because it's such a strong advantage for... So what? We're going to start taking away certain things that are advantages for the Chiefs or for any of these other teams?
No, it's just stupid with the tush push
thing. Especially because even if you took the tush push away, I bet Jalen Hurts is basically as successful as Tom Brady was on QB sneaks because Jalen Hurts is that strong and he's smart about it. Like, he understands how to do a QB sneak. So, yeah, does it become slightly less effective? Sure. He's still going to score every touchdown on the 1 yard line because he squats 600 pounds.
Yeah, stop them from getting into those situations and you take the tush push out of the game. I agree with the guy whoever the host of that show was.
John Kincaid.
The game was lost, and I said this to your homegirl, the colorist there. I said, the game was lost because of Travis Kelce dropping the football, which ultimately led to an interception. Then Philly went down and scored the touchdown and ended up going up 20-10. If Kansas City scores in that situation and a touchdown, they go up 17-13. I think that Kansas City wins that football game. Yeah. That's where the game was lost.
And it's like, it's a great point by Scheim. What was Brady's success rate? 99.5% in his career on 4th and 1 or shorter?
Even if it's 95%, that's still ridiculously high.
Right. Yeah. And the thing that's also, I guess, frustrating about it is that they're saying, oh, this guy was offsides, this guy was here. It's like...
That's the only thing that I will say is if you're going to do that, then the officials got to make sure that they're seeing that maybe those guys leaving a hair early. Or the only thing I would like the NFL to do is allow the linebackers to push the defensive linemen, very similar to the, how the quarterback is able to get pushed by, you know, a tight end or whoever's behind
him. I think the NFL also loves this because the Eagles have been very boring for the first 2 weeks of the season.
And I will tell you, my conspiracy theory yesterday when seeing this and hearing Schefter, the NFL wanted this rule to be in place. They don't like the tush push. They want it gone. So what better time than after the most watched regular season game on any channel on a Sunday in the history of the NFL to have your leading newsmaker on their biggest Monday morning show blaming that rule for why the Eagles won the game. If you want to get, and then all the things that were given after that, which is, does the tuck rule survive the season? Will they make changes? I mean, the tuck rule, the
tush push
rule survive the season. The NFL, being a 10% stakeholder now in ESPN, may have more editorial control on what these guys are saying as opposed to what a coach would say to a broadcaster, I don't know, if you were meeting on a Friday before a game on Sunday. So the NFL doesn't want this to be.
Why? I don't know. Why doesn't the NFL want it?
I don't know. They've just they've gone out of their way. I think Roger Goodell spoke out against it in the offseason.
Like, every team can do it, like Courtney said. So why wouldn't you? My only thing is give the linebackers the same advantage.
All right.
Other than that, you can keep it there.
We have been a big listener of the show, the great Rob Ninkovich, number 50 in your hearts, number one on the line, right here on the Greg Hill Show. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
What's up? We're back. We are back.
Love it. Okay. Super Bowl,
right,
Nick?
No, I'm not going there yet. Okay. But listen, the whole tush-push issue for me, the play is boring. It's boring. I think that's why the NFL doesn't like it. They don't like it. They don't like the boringness of even the name of it, the tush push. Like, it couldn't be like the rhino roll or like the bull push or something. The tush push. It's boring, but I get it. You can't take away a team's advantage if they are built to do something a certain way. That's like saying, oh, if you're built to run the football, then you shouldn't do that if you're having success. You shouldn't do that. We don't want you to have success if you're built a certain way. So as a defender, I would look at every – when we're on the one-yard line and we know what's coming, you look at every single dude and you say, you know what they're going to do here. It's up to us to try and stop it. So you can't create a rule to stop a team from doing something that they have success with just because other teams are upset that they can't stop it.
I'm curious, Nick, how do you think Bill would have – I don't know if he has, but if he did, what do you think Bill would have done to successfully defend the tush push? Is there anything that other teams aren't doing that he would maybe have thought of?
Well, we definitely would have done some type of quick move motion. So, like, you start a little bit wide, and at one moment, in one instant, you have a linebacker screaming move as loud as you can, and everybody jumps as quickly as they can in or out, because those guys, you got to think, the offensive line, you even saw they false started one of the plays. They didn't call it, but they're on a hairpin trigger. What that means is they're so ready to go that if anything makes them like move just a little bit, they're already off. So you have to try and get them in the mentality of, listen, one time we were playing the 49ers at home. I think that was the year that was like kind of misting. It was like a misty, nasty home game. We were playing the 49ers.
Wasn't that thing, was that the game with the kick return from the offensive lineman, like went down to the one?
That was the Green Bay game.
Oh, Green Bay, sorry.
Were you thinking Green Bay? That was with Dan Connolly.
That's right, sorry.
But there was a certain instance we're on the goal line, and they had one of the biggest offensive linemen I have ever seen, like one of the biggest. And before the game, I knew, like, okay, if I try to go head up on this guy, he's going to beat me because he's so much bigger than me. So before the snap, I said, dude, I'm going to run through your face, and I know you can't stop me. And I got him so pissed off. I got him so mad. Before the snap, I twitched, and he jumped offside. So it's trying to, like, you got to come up with little things. And other teams are trying to take the legs out of, like,
I think Kansas City almost stopped it. Like, if you look at Chris Jones, he literally was a little too high. He hit Jalen Hurts in the perfect place, and he would have probably stopped him if he was a little bit lower. But he got under, he got on top of Jalen Hurts, and he kind of fell forward. So you just have to try and come up with something that, or how about this? Like Wiggy said, don't get down to the 1 yard line. You know, like,
yeah,
try to play defense and not put yourself in that position. But the game within the game, I mean, think back to the Ravens playoff game where we had the double pass, you know, with Julian and Danny Amendola. Remember, we came up with some of those weird formations where right, teams were really upset that we had Humana Una'i in a legal formation, but we were throwing the ball to him. He was uncovered because they thought that the extra tackle, which we had reported as a tackle, they thought that was illegal. So it was a big issue that we came up with three plays back-to-back that they couldn't cover.
Right. That's what led to Deflategate, because that led Harbaugh to be pissed to Brady, saying they should know the rules, to call his old buddy Pagano to get the football. That started the chaos.
That was ridiculous, because we beat them by 40 after they filled the footballs back up. So that one was so ridiculous. The amount of money that people put into lawyer fees in general was for the stupidest reason ever. But anyway, let's move past that. Which, you know, Tom was suspended for the first four games of the next season, and we won the Super Bowl anyway, and I'm sure the ball pressure was perfect.
Yeah.
So
I have a question.
But anyway.
But quickly, Nick, what do you think, and what do players make of Aaron Rodgers? Do people just roll their eyes at him? Is he as good as Brady said he's the best passer at his prime in the history of the NFL? What do you think of Aaron Rodgers, the guy, and as a quarterback?
Honestly and truthfully, before, when he had that injury, I didn't think he was ever going to come back. I didn't. And I'll put that out there. I didn't think he was going to get back to the level of playing in the NFL again, because you're old, once you're old and you have that injury, especially in Achilles, I kind of enjoy his where he's at right now, and the way that he's talking about, you know, just the Jets in general and trying to beat everybody that he was going against. He does have one of the cleanest and quickest releases of any quarterback I've ever seen. And if you look at techniques of how to throw a football, he kind of goes against all the proper ways, you know, setting your feet, putting, you know, basically throws the ball without his feet on the ground, which is insane how he can generate so much spin and torque and quickness on a football without having his footwork right. But it's awesome for me, especially playing against a guy that is a Hall of Famer back, you know, 2015, 2016, and when you have to game plan against him in general, he's crafty. I mean, if you watch some of his ball fakes last week, he had guys running the wrong way, you know, just with the way that he goes through his progressions. And I mean, ayahuasca, whatever it is, I think he's, you know, I think he's entertaining to listen to when he's having his interviews and they're asking him questions and his philosophies of, you know, how everything works. But right, he is generationally, you know, as far as his mechanics and how he throws a football, special.
Well, Nick, you're special. We appreciate you calling in. Hope to see you soon. You going to be at Gillette Sunday?
I will. So I will be there. I will be there to support my man Jules.
Oh, right.
Congratulations to Julian. I'll be doing some little Pepsi thing before the game. So I will be there with the family. And, you know, the one thing I would say about this last week, which I'm very excited, if you see Drake May with protection, I mean, the guy can get it done. So protection is the key to this whole thing. And then the marriage between him and Josh, if they can continue to grow and gain confidence with each other, I mean, it's very exciting to watch,
Nick,
to see if they can put this thing together.
That one play Drake May made when he stepped up in the pocket, avoided the pressure, and then hit Ramondre down the sideline was, I think, so far the best throw he's made in his career. And, like, the guys did a great job holding a pocket, allowed him to step up. He was confident enough to step up into it. Like, I thought that was the kind of the turning point here, where maybe now it's kind of, all right, let's go all
up. Put your pants back on.
Yeah, it's so hot when Sean talks ball.
My God, I love it so much.
He's a very good, you know, as far as his ability to get out of situations, use his legs. I mean, he understands
get, you know, how to get out of the situation, how to use his athletic ability. But just like that play, for instance, being able to avoid something and then still having your eyes downfield, a lot of young quarterbacks, when the first or second option is not available, they panic a little bit, and then the rush is getting to you, so you pull your eyes down and you start looking around at the rush. For him to be able to, you know, see what's coming after him, move a little bit, and then get your eyes back downfield, see the guy that's wide open, throw a strike, big play, you know, I think those are all great things that we hopefully can see more of.
All right, Nink, we'll have fun with Jules this weekend at the Hall of Fame induction. And
see you Saturday.
At Gillette on Sunday. Always appreciate you listening and calling in, Rob.
All right, Wiggy. See you, buddy.
I'll see you, buddy.
There's Rob Ninkovich. We have the president of the Boston Red Sox, or not the president, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, Craig Breslow, joins us in 15 minutes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So we're going to do a little football talk right now with our buddy Tom Curran. Tom Curran with WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, and by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Tom Curran, how are we doing this week?
I am off the charts good. You sound a little down, a little forlorn. What's the matter?
Well, you know, I was kind of looking forward to a Red Sox playoff run, and I'm starting to think there's not only not going to be a playoff run, there might not be playoffs at all, and that's gotten me a little down today.
Wow, you're taking it hard.
Yeah.
Ted, anything, Fitzy, anything you can do to help the fella out?
You know what? Unfortunately, he's I'm kind of right there with him, Tom. I'm misery loves company, man.
Well, Fitzy, how about
no, actually. Believe it or not, the Foxborough fanboy and Mr. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Boston Mind actually thinks the Sox are toast there, Tommy.
All right. Well, at least it's a story. At least there was drama to it.
All right. So let's talk about a team that if the Red Sox are trending in the wrong direction, maybe the Patriots are trending in the right direction. I think you must be like the rest of us. You saw Drake May last week and were like, okay, that's what I've been waiting for. What was your favorite part of what you saw from Drake May on Sunday in Miami?
Oh, that's a good question, bud. I think the movement out of the pocket that Josh McDaniels had him doing, get him out of the pocket. Look, if he likes to throw on the move and he likes to throw off platform, even to the point where he seeks off platform throws, I think, then let's move him around and see how he does. And he was much more accurate, which I think calms him down. If he's a busy guy between the years, that's fine. And if moving around makes him less busy, all right, let's move him around. And it's funny because listening to Mike Tomlin, and you guys have another radio show to do tomorrow, listen to Tomlin's Wednesday press conference around the six-minute mark. I'm doing quick slants today. I grabbed it. He goes on about Drake May's mobility and his ability to make things happen with his legs that really changes things. And I think that May could be entering a stage where teams aren't just saying, yeah, nice young quarterback, to if he plays like this more frequently, like he did last week, yeah, he's a problem. I don't know if he's a problem yet for teams. I think he has the potential to be a problem, but he's too wild stallion to this point to be legitimately a week in, week out, oh no, what are we going to do?
Tom, do you think they found something in regards to, you know, types of plays that he is maybe best skilled at doing, like the boots and all the kind of moving pocket stuff and the play actions? Do you think that will continue? Do you think they've found the formula in that game plan from the Miami week?
Yeah, maybe to an extent, but you know better than me. The biggest equalizer there, Teddy, was down in distance. If you're in second and two, everything's wide open for you. You don't have to go in shotgun. You can get under center. You can run bootleg. You can run play action. So if you're in third and six, yay, let's run play action. No one's going to bite. So to me, it's all about how well do you run the ball. And they don't have, you know, the 1990s Dallas Cowboys offensive line, but they certainly have a passable one in terms of run blocking and guys who can move people out of the way. It seems, again, it was 1 out of 2 weeks. But to me, that should put them in much better position to create what May likes and excels at.
Okay, Tommy, I'll ask the other million-dollar question on the minds of Pats Nation right now as they head towards what should be a fascinating affair at the Razor on Sunday. Offense is looking better. Let's hope they keep it up. How about that defense especially? Do you think they're going to get a key addition in the back end with the old Gonzo?
I don't know. I mean, it's day 52. I asked Mike yesterday, and you guys might have heard it in a press conference. You know, you're not, for us, everybody speculates about injuries. No matter how often they ask us not to, they do it themselves. When they see a guy limp off, their immediate thought is, how long? Yep. So is ours. And their immediate thought is, well, what's the timeline? When's he going to be able to be back? And if he has not, Christian Gonzalez, matched up to the expected timeline, which initially was reported both by Darren Grigian and Jordan Schultz, shouldn't be a threat to miss week one. I mean, that was basically dismissed out of hand. Well, then what happened? This is where it becomes, and I asked Mike about this, difficult for the player, because if nothing is shared about his condition, rehabilitation, progress, and you're looking at hamstring pull, and there's all kinds of variations of hamstring pull, if nobody says anything, then we're going to sit there and say, well, how come it's this long? And which opens the next can of worms, which is he taking his time? Which opens the next can of worms, which is, why is he taking his time? Is it money? Is it he doesn't like to play at less than 100%? So this has not done anybody any favors. This is a perfect example of a time in which they should have been a little bit more transparent with the progress, I think.
NBC Sports Boston's Tom Curran here with WEEI Afternoons. I want to stick with the defense, Tom, because I think we all thought it was going to be the strength of the team, and we sort of based that on three levels. The back end, pass coverage, we thought would be good. We won't know that until Gonzalez is back. The front end, we thought would be good, and it has been good, right? Milton Williams, Christian Barmore, Harold Landry. The question I have is the linebacker position that I thought would be better with Robert Spillane. He has not been the tackle machine I was told he was going to be. What do you make of the problems at tackling at the linebacker level? Is that just early in the season stuff, or are we something we should be worried about?
I haven't watched enough Robert Spillane over the course of time to say, oh, this is totally uncharacteristic. This is my first introduction. He has to be upset at what he's got on tape so far. I'm sure he is. And I'm sure he'll be better. I think the shining example was when he just failed to wrap up a tight end in the red zone last week and just checked him, and the guy moved off that. It's just a horrible play, worse than the A-chain one. So I would expect he'll be better. Why is it the way it is? I think some of it might have to do, Ted, with contact not had in the preseason during preseason games nor in training camp, and they're still getting used to it. And I'd also add that going into the season, I did think that the defense and the immediate expectation of excellence was misplaced, because it takes a long time for the communication to really gel. And I think they'll be better. But I've looked at the linebacker level and said, this is a total afterthought on this team. For a linebacker in Mike Vrabel, defensive end, who grew up as he did in the league, it's Christian Ellis, Jelani Tavai, Jack Gibbons, Robert Spillane. I'm not looking at a bunch of household names there. And it's not the way it was even a couple of years ago when, you know, they were a linebacker-heavy team. So the front's good. The back end should be good. The linebackers, I think, are just they're one slice of meat in a wonderfully breaded sandwich.
It is true, Tom. I mean, he played with some very diverse and just, you know, really, really good linebackers. So it is weird. He seems to have a type, and they're just they're not that big, and they don't make the tackles, which is maddening. But hey, I want to ask you about the Steelers. I just find it kind of the Steelers how they're doing things this year fascinating. Going out and spending big money, bringing in, you know, guys that were, you know, great for teams, but you know, didn't come through their system. You had Mike Tomlin giving a 10-minute dissertation on the whole Patriots roster, which was insane. And it's just Aaron Rodgers, 1-1. He's having a decent season, I guess. But just, does this team scare you? What do you think about the Steelers? And are the Patriots getting the Steelers at a good time right now? And by the way, I didn't realize this. Aaron Rodgers 0-2 in the two games he's played at Gillette. I didn't realize that. So 0-2 in Gillette.
Well,
not that matters, but
spoken.
Yeah,
no, it's worth noting. I mean, those were my, I'm guessing, and I'm sure you know this too, that they were better, but they were better Patriot products. Yeah, I think that they're getting Pittsburgh at a good time, but I also think that Pittsburgh, it's funny, Rodgers had something where he was asked, how do you respond? He goes, we need to respond with a win. I don't want to be too binary, but it's important to win.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I said, you can look it up on Pro Football Talk. It was kind of goofy, which is not surprising. But they have to look at the Patriots and say, my God, we cannot lose to these guys. We just gave up 32 to the Jets. We gave up 31 last week to whoever the hell it was. Help me. Seattle. So, I mean, we can't walk in and lose to the Patriots. Did you see how many mistakes they made against Miami? I mean, that's, I'm just trying to channel what they must be thinking in their film and meeting room. So, the Patriots are catching Pittsburgh at a good time, but the Steelers have T.J. Watt, D.K. Metcalf, and Aaron Rodgers, who is, on Sunday at least, still a better quarterback than Drake May. I don't know if it'll happen by next year on September 20th, but right now, I'd still take the guy with the bigger brain and the better and the equally decent arm. So yeah, I'm thinking Pittsburgh, Ted, they're looking across. He has a question. I didn't really answer it. They're looking across at the Patriots and saying, we need to get this game. We're not going to 1-2 with a loss to New England.
Yeah, and maybe if the Patriots love up on Aaron Rodgers some more, because Drake May even called him the GOAT last year, maybe that'll soften Rodgers up enough. We'll see, Tommy. Speaking of GOATs,
Do you know the Patriots are 17-26 at home since the beginning of the decade?
Since Tom left? Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I'm actually surprised that they're even that good, per se. Anyway, yeah. So real quick, on the subject of GOATs, though, Tom, you seem like the right kind of guy to ask for an opinion on this. How do you like the week that Tom Brady has had? And how do you feel about, like, it came out via Adam Schein today, Antonio Pierce talking about how he used to get some tidbits on other teams from Brady. This was last year when Brady was broadcasting. And now the Flag Football League in Riyadh, like, I don't like it personally, and you know what a Brady apologist I am, so I'm just kind of curious to get your spin on the weird week that was Brady.
I'm just, honestly, Fitzy, I'm kind of over it. How many times does something have to happen and we react with surprise at it? Whether it's him walking down the, you know, concourse in a satin jacket, whether it's, you know, last year's roast, whether it's any number of things. We should all be over it by now. If Tom Brady does something that would have been eye-widening in 2022, it shouldn't be by 2025. I mean, we know kind of the guy, he likes to own things. He owns a piece of the Raiders. Were the Patriots going to slice off $1 billion worth and give him 10% of the team? I doubt it. Did Tom want to work with Robert Kraft, perhaps? When he certainly lays, I think, a fair amount of the blame for him having to leave town on Robert. So, I mean, it was Bill was just doing Bill things when he moved on from Tom. Robert was the one who kind of did a Pontius Pilate with the whole situation. So, to me, I'm just no longer, oh, no, what is Tom doing? Ever since he shaved his armpits, I think, and you remember that? When he was going down the water slide in Brazil?
Yeah.
The naked armpits in Brazil. I said, wow, anything could happen with this guy now.
Tom, you are now, I don't know, a few months into the day-to-day Mike Vrabel press conferences. I'm not there anymore, so it's hard for me to get a feel. I try to watch them all, but sometimes you lose it on TV. What have you thought of Mike's tone and tenor? And we know he's a ball buster. We know what he was as a player. But, you know, there's been these weird – he went at Phil that one day. This week I heard him say something like, you know, if we're talking about last week's game on Wednesday, I'm going to have a real problem with it. There was, you know, use your time wisely. What have you thought of the Mike Vrabel experience so far?
I like it. I like it. I enjoy it. He's been incredibly open, I think, with, you know, certainly not injuries, but I think that he's been as transparent as he can possibly be with the way he feels about things. You know, look back at last week, very transparent on, you know, what he had for hopes for Josh McDaniels. I thought that his answer to the question about what do you do to motivate Drake May, while it was snappish, it was interesting. It's insight. He's a little edgy. That's okay. I don't mind that at all. I'm not going to say, well, why'd you be mean to us? And I know that you're not saying that, but, you know, he stomped off yesterday. He literally stomped off. And I pestered him with Gonzalez questions and interrupted him. And he's just very impatient, Mike is, to let's cut to the chase. What are the questions? I want to answer them. And if they're not the questions he wants to answer, he's going to try and get to the next one. But I was probably driving him crazy by trying to redirect him. And then we started asking questions that were probably best served to be asked Monday. And it is a symbiotic relationship between the media and the head coach. We're not there for him, and he doesn't necessarily do himself any good by helping us excessively, but it does have to be at times helpful to each other. And I think that he has tried very hard to make it helpful at most times for us. So I got no problem with him so far, because he'll say what his friggin' problem is if he has one, as opposed to, you know, Bill, who just turtled and just would never talk to you again. You're like, what did I do? Well, we just on to the next guy. We didn't do anything.
Does it seem like to you, Tom, that Mike, I don't know, sometimes I worry that Mike thought the gig would be a little easier than it is. Like, you know, I've seen kind of his short temper, not, you know, temper, but just patience, it wears thin. And it just feels like, man, it's early in the season for that. Do you think there's any sense that he's maybe thought it was going to be easier than it's been? Because, I mean, it feels like he's just putting everything into this job, and he seems a little bit frustrated that it's maybe not where he thought it might be.
I don't know. I don't know if his expectations are not being met. I don't think that it seems – I mean, if I really think that he understood how hard it was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, he looked at this team and saw, okay, they got a quarterback. They don't have any offensive line. They don't have any receivers. They got a tight end who's good. Not great, but he's good. Let's see. Nobody wants to sign here. They got a safeties I don't want to keep. They got a cornerback who's pretty good. We have to gas the entire coaching staff. And oh, man, look at this. We got a personnel guy who's an old has to hang around. So to me, I think that he probably did look at it as being really hard. He's probably been working really hard for months. So I can't imagine he thought it was going to be easy. He probably just gets in front of us at those press conferences, mm-hmm. and he's like, this is kind of the last thing I want to do right now.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, I'll try to end on a positive question here. You've been covering him, obviously, for now. This is his fifth season in New England. You happy to see Ramondre such a big part of the offense last week, and do you think he can keep up the contributions and the pace? Because I thought I was ready for the Travion Henderson takeover, but Mondre was a monster last week.
If he doesn't drop the ball, he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
End of story. There was never a moment in which I said he can't run with the football. He was getting hit in the sternum the last couple of years. He kind of deserved the contract that he got going out of 20, whatever the hell it was, 2021 or 2022. He kind of was already trending as a top five back. He didn't lose his speed. He had plenty of instances, Fitzy, where he was good at the second level. You know, when we talked at the beginning of the year, who should I have on my fantasy team? People would ask me, I'd go, Ramondre's still going to get the ball all the time on first and second down until further notice because he's violent. So I am happy for him.
because I speculated about his future here and said he's overpaid by a lot relative to the production. But now he's playing like the kind of back that they expected when they paid him, and that's good for him because he is a pretty good dude.
All right, Tom, before we let you go, can I get a quick pick, or do I have to watch Quick Slants to get that?
You got to watch. No, I don't even know if I have it ready for Quick Slants. I'm probably going to go Pittsburgh again, though.
Oh,
I mean, I'm going to go with the other team again.
Wow.
I want more data.
All right, Tom, I'm with you.
Temporary.
Yep, I'm kind of with you, but thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Tom.
Have a tremendous day.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
See you. That's Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Yeah, I'm cheering up. I'm just turning
the page. Shave your armpits.
It's all football season now. It's all football. The Red Sox are toast. Let's just watch football, Thursday night football, the whole thing, high school, college. That's what we got these days.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Just excited to be back out there. I love football. This is what I do. So, I mean, it's been very challenging to be out for so long. But, I mean, I'm focused on here now, so not really too worried about the injury and not really going to answer no questions on that. We're focused on the Steelers. So,
what's the process been like, though? It's been since July 28th. What's that been like for you physically, maybe more so mentally, to get to this point now?
It's been hard. I mean, it's been tough, but it's part of football. Everything in football is tough. You know, it's going to test you physically. It's going to test you mentally. So, I mean, it's just a part of it.
Do you plan on playing this Sunday?
I'm focused on today.
Christian Gonzalez meeting with the local media in a scrum in the locker room for the first time in I don't even know how long. He had done one appearance on Good Morning Football, and then that yesterday. When we got off the air yesterday, Keith, it seemed to be trending in the right direction. He was going to do some limited work. He was listed as limited at practice yesterday. He spoke to the media. Vrabel said he was going to do more. It all seemed positive. And then you hear from Gonzalez there, I'm not going to answer any questions about the injury.
Great. I'll clear things up.
Which is so weird. If you yoinked a hamstring and you had a setback, what?
It's not like a big advantage, right? It's not like these like secrets that like Bill Belichick instilled in everybody. Like, it's the most important thing to not share any kind of info. It's like, well, we know you haven't been out there. We know you haven't played. We know that yesterday, Vrabel even said you were going to practice. That was your first practice. You ended up being limited. Like, we see all that. We know it's a hamstring injury. But he doesn't want to talk about any of that. Then he's also like, we're talking about the Steelers. You're going to play on Sunday? Well, I'm talking about today. It's like, all right, dude. Like,
so, well,
now, he's not the most comfortable, as we know firsthand.
No, I mean,
he does not enjoy talking.
We could really draw a lot out of him, Keith, but not everyone's as skilled of an interviewer as you and I are.
Correct.
So we were able to get more out of him than most. But, yeah, no, it's not his thing, but he didn't say
Gonzo
whether he's playing.
Is a man of few words.
I would have to agree with
probably the most accurate thing Jerome Mayo ever said.
He was on it.
So, he wouldn't answer whether he's playing or not, which makes me wonder if I was a little too positive about him just being back on the field yesterday. And second, it's just weird he won't answer questions about the injury. Like, he has to know. The backdrop to all of this.
Yeah.
People like me are wondering if it's a pseudo holdout. People are wondering if he's soft and he's not rushing back and doing everything he can to get on the field. So answer some questions. Did you have a setback?
Well,
yeah, I was coming back and I pushed it a little bit and we're just being cautious. He wouldn't even go there. He's like, I'm not going to answer any questions about that.
All right.
Which he circled back to later on, but you were about to say something.
No, I was going
to
say, like, what is the harm in that? Like, if you want to take his side for a second and say, what's the negative if you said I had a little bit of a setback? And now I'm feeling better. Like, I don't really I don't play it out.
Now opponents know, like, what, his hamstring sore?
We already knew that.
He's on the injury report. Yeah, so I'm with you. I'm just trying to play out what people would say.
I'm trying to figure that out. And
we're all snakes in the media, so don't tell us anything anyway because F the media. I mean, I don't know. Is it some of that?
Maybe,
I mean, people probably feel that way.
But it's not even that. Like, there's way more fans than there are members of the media, and fans are asking the same question. They're like, what's going on with this guy? And I think this is what Curran was trying to get at with Vrabel the other day, where he's like, hey, is there – you know, something to transparency for the player, just so like the truth is kind of out there. Now, if it's something you want to protect, that's different. But if the two things that got put out there are either he's soft or he's like holding out
for a contract a year from now. He's soft or he's selfish. One of those two.
Like, those are both awful. Like, you should both come out and be like, no. Like, I actually wanted to come back and I re-aggravated it. We want to make sure I'm good to go so it doesn't happen again. I feel like everybody moves on. Right? Like, whether that's the actual truth or not, if that's what he came up with yesterday, that, I was trending towards, hopefully being back for week one, pushed it a little too hard. We're being very precautious here. And now, you know, we'll see how, you can even say, like, we'll see how this week goes. Hopefully I am playing Sunday. Harmless. It's a harmless answer. I don't think Vrabel would be mad at that. I don't think the organization would be mad at that. And I think fans would be like, okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, you could also spin it positive too. Like, I just wanted to get back on the field so badly and I pushed it a little too much and we were just cautious and we wanted to make sure that I didn't have any setbacks. I'm 100% when I come back healthy. Like, easy.
Because even Dan Roach, who's like one of the more positive guys in the world, is like, it's been since the end of July. Like, you've been out a while. Like, what is up with that?
And again, if I was advising Gonzalez, like, maybe the team is telling him don't say anything. Maybe. Yeah. And then I would be annoyed at that if I were Gonzalez, because there are some things he would want to clean up. Again, you just said it. Fans, media, me, are wondering if he's soft and or selfish. And so you'd want to clear that up, but he did nothing to do that. Here's another exchange on his timeline, working his way back onto the field.
Christian, you described your recovery yesterday as kind of stressful. Was any part of that it just taking longer than you expected?
I mean, like, I kind of hit on it earlier. I mean, all part of it is stressful, even if you're, you know, even if you're healthy. I mean, everything in football is a high stress business. So I mean, it's every part of it is stressful.
Did you experience any setbacks along the route?
I ain't speaking on that.
Okay, that by the way, we touched on that comment yesterday.
Yeah.
Hearing the full interview, that came across a little better than it did just in a stray tweet. Mm-hmm. He said at the beginning he's not going to talk about it.
Right.
I disagree with him not talking about it, but he did put that out there. So when Karen asked a direct question, I think that was Karen asking the direct question, he goes, I already told you I'm not talking. That in full context.
Yeah, knowing that he said that.
That's not as bad as I initially thought it was yesterday.
Oh, Karen, hello.
Yeah, but it is weird to sort of pivot away from the injury thing. Be like, was this part stressful? All of it's stressful. So it's like, in general, it's always stressful. You're just stressed to the gills. Yep. Like, it is a high, I understand it's a high pressure job. That's why those guys are part of why they're paid so much. But he's just stressed out. But he would have been stressed out anyway. Because then he also told Good Morning Football it's been fun.
It's fun. Fun but stressful. Okay. Fun but stressful.
All right. I just hope he's on the field. You don't need to hear any more interviews from this guy going forward.
Do you think, based on what we know now, I was feeling pretty good when we got off the air yesterday. He's playing this weekend. I feel a little worse after listening to him. Best guess, given what we know right now, does he play this weekend?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be a week of practice, but I think it's very encouraging for the following week.
So you think he's back for Carolina?
Yes.
Which, by the way,
I would put way more money on Carolina than I would Pittsburgh.
If he's back for Carolina, then me barking about why didn't they put him on IR and why... That they told you they thought he would be back for Carolina based on not placing him on PUP or IR. Mm-hmm. So if he's back for Carolina, I'll stand down on that. But I agree. It's encouraging for week four. I feel worse after hearing Gonzalez and his answers, especially not being able to answer straight up.
Yeah.
I'm focused on today.
Well, the other part of it, too, is like,
oh, I'm hoping to be out there. I should be out there. If everything goes right, I'll be out there. Like, you wouldn't even do that.
Well, also, you know, the practice distinctions that come out that the teams have to put out there, it's either you're a full participant, a limited participant, or you did not participate, right? And then, or just guys that have no injury distinction. But if you're limited, we don't know what you did.
You could have
stretched. You could barely be out there. Like, you have your helmet on. Like, yeah, he's limited.
You could stretch. I think if you're doing stuff on the side and nothing with the
team. That doesn't count, right?
And I know this because of McCaffrey leading into week one. McCaffrey was on the side but doing nothing. They had to list him as out of practice, but he was doing some things. So he was more active than that.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know if he was – we don't know what he was doing and what he wasn't doing. So you guys can discuss Christian Gonzalez. You feeling better about the direction of his return? Why wouldn't he elaborate on his injury? Should he have elaborated on his injury and provided some answers? Or does he owe us nothing? I know a lot of you feel that way. Again, you can discuss 617-779-7937. A reminder, Football Talk on WEEI presented by Paramount Plus. You can stream your local NFL game all season long. Kicking off, Keith, with what it says here is a juicy Week 3 matchup between the Patriots and the Steelers.
I'd say juicy.
Pats are wearing the throwbacks. When I was joking about this earlier in the week, I didn't even realize it was throwback week.
I already picked them to win anyway.
I feel even better now. Good call.
Very strong.
So they're in the throwback Steelers in their traditional uniforms. It starts at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We talked about Gonzalez and his return. We'll get more into that. And do the Pats not have to worry about keeping Stephon Diggs happy? We'll get to that with your phone calls next.
Oh, man, Shime. You know how to hit me right in the feels. Great tune there.
Song rips.
It is great. Right now, Greg's on his second Eggs Benedict up in Woodstock, Vermont. Lovely day. Are they golfing today or was the golf yesterday?
I don't know if they were necessarily golfing.
Oh, it's not a golfing thing.
The what Greg's at?
Yeah.
No, it was like a big event last night with Subaru, and he was hosting it or speaking at it. But he did post a golf bag at Woodstock Inn that was signed by Keegan Bradley.
Oh, which is very look cool. at that. Well, yeah. The Ryder Cup is what? 2 weeks away? 1 week away? When is the Ryder Cup, Shimer?
I don't know exactly the date. I'll find out.
It'll be soon. Coming up. That was a wonderful rejoin. We got
eight days away.
Craig Breslow will join us in about 5 to 10 minutes. We're going to take John in the car. Then we're going to get to the legendary moments that highlight a great Edelman and Bill Parcells. But right now, John wants to talk about pushing tushes. Hi, John. John,
hi, am I on?
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you? Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly fine. What's on your mind?
So just all this push-tush talk reminds me of a short story by Kurt Vonnegut. It's called Harrison Bergeron. It's about 20 pages. I highly recommend. It's a great read. It's one of my favorite short stories, but it's basically about a society in the future where everyone has to be completely equal and you get penalized for, you know, being doing something better than somebody else. It's really, really funny, and I love it. So just a read suggestion. Could I get a douche move ruling?
Certainly.
So my wife and I and my younger daughter went down to see my older daughter at college, and there's a local pastry shop. They have the best chocolate chip muffins ever. Yum. So I go to get chocolate chip muffins. I ask my wife, do you want one? She says no. I get one for me and my daughter. My daughter eats hers. My wife says, can I have half of yours? I change my mind. And I'm like, sure. I'm like, fine. She takes the top and leaves me with the stump.
Oh, John. That is...
You better call James P. Albini.
Always buy an extra.
That's exactly what I was going to say. John, when your wife says she doesn't want it, it means she wants it.
You can't go wrong with having a spare chocolate muffin later in the day anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great call.
Yeah. But taking the top half is...
That is...
Oh, that's criminal. Diabolical. Right. I mean,
the homeless won't even eat the stump.
Right. Seinfeld.
Right. Top of the morning. Top of the muffin.
That is so true, though. I don't want one, and then you get one. But you do you always go extra in the morning. Mm-hmm. If if you have an extra bagel, great later. If it's an extra muffin, enjoy it later.
Yeah. If they say, I don't want French fries, you get the French fries. And usually a large.
But it's something with the ladies. It's a lady thing.
Yeah. Well, they don't want to be seen as gluttonous.
Like when you get something and then you're like, you sure you don't want anything? They're like, no, I'm good.
It's instant regret.
And then you get it and then they're like, oh, let me. And then they want half of it. They want a bite. Can you cut me this? It's like. It's something about all women, or a large portion of them, that do that when the man gets food.
Are you saying larger women do this?
No. Just more women do it than men.
I don't know if it's a difference between women and men, because for me, it's always Santa will be like, oh, I'm picking this up on my way home or whatever. Do you want anything? And I'll say, no, I'm not hungry in the moment. But as soon as I smell the food or it's in front of me, I am ravenous for it.
Oh.
And I need it.
And then I always say to my, I'm like, why you just didn't let me have you get? Because now you're ruining my eating experience.
Right, it hurts your order.
Yeah,
because you know what you want, you order it, and then they'll say, "Oh, I don't want it." You know, I don't want.
Well, then
get
I got to cut half of the.
Then
sandwich.
You're having a half portion.
Yeah, and it's like, why? And that's why you're right for the caller there, for all guys out there. When you get food and your lady says she don't want it.
Yep.
Just get extra so you won't lose your enjoyment for your eating experience.
All right, we got to get this in here, Shimer. Legendary moments.
It's time for legendary moments.
Get the duck boats ready.
Hosted by our legend.
We're happy to have the Hillman down at Patriot Place. You've been with us since the beginning.
And presented by Miller Lite, the legendary light beer. Because legendary stories start with a light. Celebrating 50 years of Miller time with our 5-decades-old OG, Greg Hill. On Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Legendary moments of the Greg Hill Show brought to you by our great friends at Miller Lite. Legendary stories start with a light. Here's to 50 years of Miller time. Quick anecdote about Miller time. Did one summer working at a company called Lista. They were in Holliston or Hopkinton. And it was like this assembly line type thing. Mm-hmm. And every day at 5 minutes before the end of our shift at 4 o'clock, this guy go, Curtis, it's 5 minutes to Miller time. I was like, all right,
legend.
My man. Anyway, tomorrow, Saturday, sorry, Saturday, the Patriots are inducting two men into the Patriots Hall of Fame, Bill Parcells and Julian Edelman. I don't think you can overstate Bill Parcells' role in the dynasty. When you look at the players that he brought in,
mm-hmm.
whether it's Ty Law, Ted Johnson,
Jermaine
Teddy
Wiggins.
Brewski.
No, Parcells brought me in.
Oh, I
Parcells,
thought you always said that
Parcells. Yeah, but Parcells brought me into New York. He gave me my shot with the Jets.
So my apologies.
It's true in an indirect way. Yes. Biggie wouldn't have been with the Patriots if he didn't get the opportunity with the Jets. You look at Ted Johnson.
Willie Mack, did you say Willie Mack?
Willie McGinnis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with Lawyer Malloy, Adam Vinatieri, kind of an important guy. Troy Brown.
Yep.
Eighth round pick, Troy Brown. Bill Parcells, in terms of roster building, is as good as it gets in the history of the NFL. Mm-hmm. Just an amazing, amazing coach. And then Edelman, a guy who may be Belichick's best draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seventh round quarterback out of Kent State, comes in and plays wide receiver. Win Super Bowl 53 MVP. Pretty amazing. Right. Two guys going in.
And not only the Parcells bringing in all those players, and, you know, I've always said this, you know, Parcells is unbelievable. He's the man because he gave me my opportunity. But think about what Robert Kraft had said, that he got to meet Belichick when he was on Parcells' staff.
96.
In 96, which ultimately was like kind of like the little bit of the spark that lit the fire for him to ultimately say, oh, okay, you know what, this might be the guy that I want to go after. So, yeah, you got to give Bill Parcells his just due. And I'm glad that they're doing it. I'm going to be able to go down there, and I haven't seen him in forever, so it'll be good to see him again. He's in New York, but then he spends his time in the summer because he's into the horse racing.
Saratoga.
So he's out there by Saratoga.
Oh, yeah.
So he's doing well. I talked to him. He's looking forward to it and everything.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm excited about it. I always say, listen, man, you really gave me, you know, it's all about opportunities in sports, you know, and in life in general. And that one person who gives you an opportunity, and Parcells gave me my opportunity, and you know, the rest is history.
The way the world, and I'm sorry, the way this region looks at football, it's got a Mason-Dixon line before Parcells and after Parcells. When I grew up, born in 84, the Patriots were an afterthought. When they hired Bill Parcells, they immediately sold out of season tickets, and they haven't had to sell. There's been a wait list ever since. So.
Because the thing about Parcells, I'll give a little history lesson, and I bet some of the boomers know it, Greg's age. The thing about a lot of the old school football fans around here were Giants fans because the Patriots games would get blacked out.
Yep.
So they'd watch the Giants. And so those Parcells Giants wins were a lot of fans from around here were Giants fans. And then Parcells raved about Mark Bavaro, and Bavaro was a local guy, so that added another element. That's what brought me to the table of loving Parcells, was Bavaro. So he has this connection to this area.
And tight end specifically from this area.
Well, yeah, and tight end specifically. So, yeah, but yeah, and Julian Edelman, rightfully so. We know what he's been able to accomplish.
Absolutely. We got Breslow coming up, but if you want to attend that, see Bill Parcells, Julian Edelman inducted to the Patriots Hall of Fame. It is free. Begins at 4 o'clock Saturday down outside the Patriots Gillette Stadium.
I am ravenous for it.
That was great. I'm ravenous for Craig Breslow, and he joins us next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.